Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, guys, to the show. You're listening live to the Frank Williams Show, and I am your host, Frank Williams. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show. The call-in number to the show is 818-301-5834. That number, again, is 818-301-5834. And if you'd like to be on the air or if you'd like to talk to me, just press the number 1 on your phone, and that will let me know that you want to be on the air, and I'll put you on the air, and we will talk, okay? Again, 818-301-5834. Thanks to those who are listening via cell phone or landline, and all of those who are listening online at blogtalkradio.com on my show page. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on Duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether you have personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. Please don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you. All right? So here we are, guys, and we're on the way. Today's word of the day is somnolent. Somnolent. S-O-M-N-O-L-E-N-T. Somnolent. Somnolent is an adjective, and it means of a kind likely to induce sleep. Of a kind likely to induce sleep. The second meaning is inclined to or heavy with sleep, or simply sleepy. Somnolent is being sleepy or sleepy, okay? And that's your word of the day. And let's see, today's weather. Right now, it's a balmy 39 degrees in the ATL. Cloudy skies or partly cloudy skies. With the high today, we hope to get 52, low tonight, 34. Now, tomorrow will be a high of 54, low 43, and rain. Friday, we're looking at sunshine, a high of 58 and a low of 32. Saturday, sunshine, 63 and low 37. So we're looking at moving into the weekend with really, really nice weather. Okay. So let's see if we can make it up to the 52 degrees today that they say we are. If not, you're not gonna cry about it. So keep going. All right. Again, thanks guys for tuning in. I see there are more people joining the show. Now, today's show is entitled "The Ex-Cop Who Framed a Black Man Asked the Judge for Leniency." And actually, the wife of this ex-cop who wrongfully framed a black man begs judge for leniency for her kids. Okay? But what about the black children of the falsely convicted guy? What about the black children of the falsely convicted guy? Now, I'm going to read you guys this story. And the reason I want to read this story is because it kind of blew my mind. All right? It kind of blew my mind. And someone brought this to my attention. So, and I'm on this site called AtlantaBlackStar.com. So you guys can go there and read the story yourself. All right? And so here we go. I'm sorry. Should there be compassion for police officers who commit wrongdoing and ruin lives? A case in New Jersey reveals what happens when police officers arrest a black man on trumped-up charges. Openly lie and write up false reports. Then are betrayed by the truth telling of the dash cam and exposed as the criminals they are. As Bill Weichart has reported in NewJersey.com, over the past several months, the 2012 arrest and assault of Marcus Jeter has been compared to the Rodney King beating incident. During a traffic stop on the Garden State Parkway in New Jersey, Bloomfield police officers Sean Quarter and Orlando Trinidad approached Jeter's cars with their guns drawn and ordered him out of his vehicle. Now, picture this, guys, okay? While I'm reading this, try to picture what's going on here, all right? So during a traffic stop on the Garden State Parkway in New Jersey, Bloomfield police officers Sean Quarter and Orlando Trinidad approached Jeter's cars with their guns drawn and ordered him out of his vehicle. One of the cops broke Jeter's car window and forced him out. Had they been true, the police reports that the officers wrote up would have been damning for Jeter. According to those reports, Jeter resisted arrest and attempted to take a gun from one of the officers as he was being removed from his vehicle. Jeter denied those allegations. The police also claimed Jeter struck one of the officers. Okay? Jeter, who said he was afraid of getting shot, maintained his hands were raised in the air for the duration of the incident. Although he faced charges based on a dash cam video, a second dash cam video he obtained through an open records request proved Jeter was right and that the officers were liars. In a twist of fate that we rarely witness, charges were dropped against Jeter and the cops were indicted, each facing up to 5 years in prison. Now, this past November, a jury found the officers guilty of a number of charges, including official misconduct, conspiracy to commit official misconduct, tampering with public records, falsifying or tampering with records, and false swearing. Trinidad, who had been charged with the aggravated assault on Jeter, was found guilty of a lesser count of simple assault. Both cops had been suspended without pay for 2 years for their role in the false arrest and cover-up. Call it justice, however rare and meager. Meanwhile, Jeter filed a lawsuit claiming he was the victim of racial profiling. These officers give a bad name to all the good, honest, decent police officers. Cortez, which is the officers, and Trinidad, these are the two officers who made these false arrests, took an oath to uphold the law. On that day in June of 2012, they violated that oath. Yesterday, at his sentencing, Cortez's wife, Christina, addressed the judge. So this is the ex-cop's wife. This ex-cop's wife, Christina, addressed the judge and asked for leniency for her husband. She spoke about the financial and emotional impact on their family and the impact on their children of having their father in custody. Emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, we are at a loss due to Sean being gone, said Christina. Also saying that having Sean gone has felt like a death in the family. The woman added that their 4-year-old daughter cries at night. Their 7-year-old daughter has stopped singing the way she used to in the shower. And then and their 9-year-old son stays alone in his room. I love my children more than anything in the world, and I know they need me, Sean Carter told the judge, wearing a white jail outfit. Carter's attorney, Charles Clark, said his client saved lives as a police officer and has led an extraordinary life as a police officer. Okay, as the wife of a crooked cop seeks compassion from the court and leniency for her husband for his criminal wrongdoing, she emphasizes the impact his imprisonment is having and will have on their children. While this may be the case, it also highlights the plight of Black children, innocent girls and boys who are rendered fatherless because of criminal police officers such as Carter, who framed their daddies. Will we ever know how many Black men are languishing in prison? Perhaps for their entire lives or until they are put to death like a dog for crimes they didn't commit. And did the court show any compassion or leniency for the children of the falsely convicted? Then receive no restitution, even after the injustice is uncovered. The police officer's son, Carter, may love his children, but he did not consider the well-being of his children when he committed this heinous crime of attempting to lock up an innocent Black man. How many Black children are suffering, and how many police officers were promoted and awarded for their corruption? This is something to consider as more of these cases come to light. So this ex-cop quarter was sentenced to 5 years without parole, according to a report from the Associated Press. Now, that's the end of the article. Now, this is exactly what I've been seeing probably over the last few years of doing the show. Okay? Now, I don't know what this guy did to have the police pull him over. It could be just that he's a black man, right? He said he's racially profiled. So maybe it's just because he's black that he got pulled over. And then when you think about it, if, like, back in the day, they had no police cam. They had no dash cam in police cars. So, and we didn't have all these cell phones that could collect video. Okay? All we had a lot of times was just people who saw what happened and would be willing to come to court and testify. So now that we have all this technology with dash cam and now we have cell phones and you can, capture video on the cell phone. And so that's what keeps some of these guys out of prison. And I think that because you do charge these officers with crimes and you sentence them to 5 years without parole, I think that sends a message to other cops who are crooked or may be thinking of being crooked. That's the same thing I say about these cops that shoot people without cause. Without cause. And so if you start to put these guys in prison, they'll start thinking twice about shooting people. They'll start thinking twice about corruption and being and not doing things right. Because if it was me, I was a police officer, and now I see that the justice system is starting to incarcerate police officers for wrongdoing, I wouldn't want to do wrong. I wouldn't want to do wrong if I was a police officer and now they're starting to lock up these police officers for doing wrong. I think that's common sense. But this lady, his wife gets up there in front of the judge and asks for leniency for him. I understand that. Okay? It's her husband and they have kids or whatever. I understand that. But again, what about a lot of these other guys who are in prison right now, who were falsely accused? I'm not talking about the guys who went to jail for what they did and was, lawfully put in prison for it. I'm talking about these guys who didn't do what they say they did and are in jail on false accusations. And their kids are sitting at home without their father. Same thing with women. There are women sitting in prison who've been falsely accused, and their kids are sitting home without their mom at home. And then think about just over the years. Think about way back in the 60s and the 70s when things weren't quite this way. You have to think about your ancestors and how they lived. How afraid would you have been back in the 60s and the 50s, the 40s, when police officers were just, they were menaces to society. It's sad, but it's true. You know, I hear some of these young guys now say, they wouldn't have beat me with no blackjack. They wouldn't have beat me with no police nightstick. They wouldn't. I would have been fighting back. I would have been stroking them out of this net. Shut up. Because you would have taken that beating just like these other guys. Or you would have been 6 feet under just like those other guys who tried to do what you say you would do. And you could probably do that now, fight back or whatever. Get your head bashed in, teeth knocked out or whatever by the police. And if you die, you know, there's probably someone who will, you know, stand up for you and try to fight for your rights as a person and try to get those people put in jail for killing you. But what about your family? What about your kids? See, I tell people all the time, and I tell kids all the time, you stay away from wrongdoing. You stay away from getting mixed up with the wrong crowd. Stay away from people who are doing wrong. If you stay away from these people and try to do things the right way, then you probably won't have these run-ins with the police. And that makes you susceptible. When you have these run-ins with police, that makes you susceptible to this type of treatment. So please, guys, teach your kids. And there are college kids that listen to my show. But guys, take your time and live your life. Do things the right way. Do things the right way. Be a stand-up citizen. Go to work, get paid, take care of yourself. Okay? Not hanging in the streets, not selling drugs, not robbing people, not stealing. Makes you susceptible to run-ins with the police. And maybe, just maybe, I think it's a small chance that maybe you'll get stopped, pulled over, or caught by a police officer who does the right thing. That's a slight chance. That's a slight chance. You know, this comedian, what's his name? Just in town, my daughters went to his show on Saturday night, Cat Williams. Cat Williams come to Atlanta, does his show, and on Saturday night, and then on Sunday, he gets locked up for assaulting a store clerk. A store clerk. A store clerk. Come on, man. What happened right there? I mean, I don't know the details of what happened or whatever. He'll probably tell you something, and the police report probably will be different from what he tells you. But Cat Williams stays in jail. And I don't care how much money you got. That's exactly what they want. They want your money. So if you're going to continue to do that stuff, you're going to continue to give them your money. But he did tell a funny joke on Saturday, and I'm gonna share it with you guys before I close the show. And my daughters told me this on Sunday morning after they, you know, went to the show. He said that the Ku Klux Klan, okay, y'all know who the Ku Klux Klan is, the KKK, put the guy, the young white guy, the KKK are the ones who put this young white guy, I don't know what I'm trying to say. What am I trying to say? The KKK told this young white guy, this 19-year-old white guy, who went into the church in South Carolina and killed those people. They're the shooting. Okay? The KKK got with this guy. And they told him, they said, hey, we told you, we didn't tell your dumb ass to go to the church and kill people. We told you to go to the church's chicken and kill people. I mean, excuse me. I mean, that's not funny, but that's funny. Okay? He said, we didn't tell your dumb ass to go to the church and kill the people. We told you to go to the church's chicken and kill the people. Oh, man. Oh, that had me reeling. Now I have someone from the 314 area code. The first three digits are 381. And we're going to put this person on the show. I hope they're real. Let's see.
Hey, Frank Williams, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
You know this story about this police officer that you had in the topic, subtopic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This person, when you have police officers that agree the civil rights of a United States citizen, they should be punished. And we have suggested, and others, that there be a national registry where their name go into, where they're tagged, just like a felon. So what happened is that after they have been dismissed from the municipality that they work in, they would merely go to another one, and another one, and another one. So they should be, a municipality should know who they are hiring, because there's great stakes at chance, especially with settlements that are the aftermath of this type of behavior. The victim should be able to sue their body, and if the damages is beyond the capacity of the bond that the city has on them, then the victim should go after their personal effects. A home, automobiles, hunting guns, chewing tobacco, and boats.
Okay.
And, you know, another thing that has been proposed in different areas, that these police officers, who are nothing but employees, they are just employees. That's all they are. They are public servant employees. They should have to carry their own liability insurance. Because you, Frank, you have liability insurance, financial responsibility on your automobile.
Right.
And if you go out and create too many infractions that causes claims on that policy, sooner or later they'll be ready to drop you. And that will go on your driver's record. So when you try to get insurance elsewhere, it will be cost prohibitive or not available at all. What do you think about that?
Caller, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so I didn't ask you in the beginning, and I'm sorry about that, but I don't, if you don't mind, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from the Midwest here in the St. Louis area.
Okay.
Not too awful far from Ferguson, by the way.
Okay.
My name is Pianki, P-I-A-N-K-I.
Okay, Pianki. Well, I think you make a great case as far as the latter that you were talking about with these police officers having to carry their own liability insurance. I mean, I think that's a great idea. It seems like now the city or the, whomever they're working for has to carry the burden of that liability whenever something like this happens. So I think that's a great idea. And as far as them being on some type of registry for as felons, I think that's a great idea as well. Now, if that happens, then, you know, I think that they're employees just like anyone else. And if you have a problem at your job and you get fired, that follows you when you try to get another job somewhere else, as well as the felony on your record, especially the felony on your record. I know lots of people right now who can't get a job because they have a felony on their record. And I think you have great points. I think you have great ideas, Pianki.
Well, absolutely. That's what needs to be in effect. And those body cameras, I gave testimony here in the state legislature in Missouri, pro body camera, because we had a case here, and there's many of them. But in the newspaper, he wrote up on how this one officer had specifically asked the other officers who had taken a person out of their car, hold up, we on green right now, if y'all concerned about being on camera. And then the audio and the video stopped. So body cameras should be just like any other equipment. Camera and rear deck camera. They should be operational. Before you take that unit out, you go through a safety check to make sure the lights, the windshield wipers, brakes, and tires are inflated. But also, those cameras should be checked to make sure they are operating functionally the way they should be. And if they're not, then that unit should not go out. You should get another one. And if you don't have your camera running when you make contact with a United States citizen, then you should face some punishment. And another thing, the video from those cameras should be uploaded to an independent agency, not the police department, where it can be tampered with and edited. Similar to what we heard of in Chicago, how they went back to the private establishment and erased the parking lot surveillance cameras.
Yeah.
It should go to an independent agency where it can be protected and provided for upon request. See, it's simple to stop this. It's not difficult to stop this type of behavior that's going on. And as far as, you know, as far as black communities, where you have a 99% police force that's white serving a 99% black community, and any applicant who applies for either the police, fire department, public works, city hall, and I think the school district too, but I got something else for the school district. But the four mentioned ones, Frank, if you go to apply for a public service job, your application should go to a independent or agency. Whereas if the chief of police need a new recruit, then he calls over and asks for them to go to the stack of applicants and choose one to send over. Hire them. That way you take the hiring out of these fire chiefs and these police chiefs who used the good old boy system to hire new recruits.
Yeah.
They hire their cousins, brothers, uncles, nephews. That stuff needs to stop.
Right.
You should be hiring local because it's the local people who's paying your wages, salary, and pensions.
Right.
It's ridiculous that these type of middle class salaries and wages is being taken out of their community, spent elsewhere, and even when they retire, they don't live in that community. So you continue to pay that person. Money is continuing to leave your community. Your children have nothing to reach out for. What do you think about that, Mr. Williams?
Bianchi, I think that's a great idea as well. In my community where I grew up, and I grew up in the city of Atlanta, and went to elementary school, high school there, and that's something that happened in Atlanta. In Atlanta, they hired guys that were from our community, and because of that, a lot of times when something happened in the community, we saw people that we knew personally already, and they could come in and settle things down without incident. And that's I think that's part of what you're saying. They could come in and settle things down without incident because we respected those guys, because we grew up with those guys. And at the same time, like you say, and if these guys go through the force and get promoted and retire and all this, they lived right there within the community. And you could go to them at any time and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, I think you have some great ideas and some great points. And, you know, I like that.
And here's another thing. Your school district, your public school district, should at the high school level, or maybe even before, start offering courses and study in law enforcement and emergency medical services. Detroit, presently, is offering emergency medical services that leads up to a firefighter's certification. When those children graduate from high school, they can go immediately to working for a fire department in their community.
Wow.
And that's what all these major cities that have these large African-American populations, children deserve those jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the thing. I tell white folks, I say, if you don't have enough jobs in your own community for your children, then you should be responsible and accountable and stop having all them babies. Because what happened, you want to send them over into these black communities and take their jobs. Because you set a plant in there as a chief, and then the good old boy system begins to roll. That stuff is going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's only fair.
Right. Right. That's only fair. That's only fair. And Bianchi, so I appreciate your call.
Now, you remember that when you have conversations with other people, that's the way this information spreads. I created about a 15-point white paper when Mike Brown got killed. And I have emailed it all over the country. And I didn't get every place, but I emailed it to many places, and I'm still sending it out and sharing it with the people. So you do the same thing.
Can you share it? Can you share it with me if you hang on the line here? If you hang on the line here for just a minute, I'll let me close the show. And again, hang on the line, and I'll talk to you in just a minute, and I'll give you my email, and you can send it to me. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. And again, guys, thank you for tuning in to the show. That's about all the time I have today. I enjoy when, of course, when people call into the show and talk. Now, And this guy's out of St. Louis, Missouri, and very knowledgeable. So these are people that we want to learn from, not just y'all. I'm learning too. So this is what I want for my show. And I appreciate Pianki for calling into the show. You know, I never know where listeners are going to come from. Okay. That's what makes the show so great. Again, I appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you all for being here today. Take care of yourselves. And let's see. I'm going to try to find something to close out the show with, a little music to close out the show with. I don't know. Let's go here. Again, thanks, guys, for tuning into the show today. This is Frank. I'm over. Pianki, Frank Williams. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear Atlanta here a few weeks ago in College Park? I was attending an expo there at the Congress Center.
Okay.
And I'm in and out of Atlanta sometimes. I used to bring my grandson down there off of Broad Ridge. He used to go baseball train with Brandon Phillips' dad. He has a facility there. I bring him down there about four times a year.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they're right on Stone Mountain.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy that city. I think it's very nice. I like riding the Breeze, your martyr. I got my Breeze card.
Breeze card, yeah.
But what's your email address? I'm going to send it. I got it up right now.
Yes, sir. My email is F is in Frank Williams, fwilliams.t90@gmail.com.
Hang on.
Okay.
I got fwilliams dot what else? T you say as in
T
as in Tom?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And the number 90. So that's fwilliams.t90 @gmail.com.
All right, I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Yes, sir.
As we talk.
I sure appreciate that, and I'm in contact with some of the city councilman and different people like that. Julian Bunn's son went to high school with me. He's a city councilman here. So I can definitely get some of this stuff to these guys. And, cause I really do like some of these ideas that you were putting out there. So, and I mean, maybe, you know, some of these things have been brought up before, but nothing's ever, you know, come of them. But, you know, hey, maybe some of it hasn't.
Well, yeah, they have bits and pieces. Some people. And, you know, here's another thing, too. The reason, the power that police have to use deadly force on you comes by state statute. And every state has their own state statute on that. And the state statutes are written where they're too broad, very vague, and non-specific. So when a police chief of any department read that to set policy, they come up with all these different scenarios. So state statutes as they define deadly force should be revised and be more direct. And a lot of this stuff was stopped. See, we got the strength, power to stop all this crazy mess. People just gotta utilize it.
Of course.
So you should have that.
Yeah, it just came through on my phone just now. So.
All right. Well, enjoy yourself reading. If you need any other information, just email me back, and I'd be more than happy to give it to you.
I sure will. Hey, thanks, Pianki, for calling into the show, and I appreciate it. You take care of yourself.
You do too, sir. Thank you.
Take care.